We're here at the Edinburgh Fringe with Culture Clash Theatre and Greenwich Theatre presenting Under My Thumb. I'm going to pronounce this by Cassia Joski Jetty.
Cassia
Joski Jetty. And that's good because I'm tuning into you guys now as we talk to this. Now, this is a piece that was shortlisted for the 2016 Red Women's Theatre Awards. And I'm talking to...
Hello, my name is Cassandra Hercules.
And Sherin Ibrahim.
And one of you is going to tell me why it was shortlisted.
So I was actually part of the first ever reading. I didn't know the writer. It was at Greenwich Theatre and I was asked if I would be up for being part of a reading, and I was. And it was a fantastic piece of writing that had been shortlisted over, I think, about potentially 100 pieces of writing. And it just was hitting the right points. It was social and it was political and it was punchy. And it was raising awareness of issues affecting women all around the world. And I think that's why it was shortlisted.
And what's the specific scenario here?
So it is basically, the play has been developed from that initial reading, but it's basically set in a dystopian Britain where women are persecuted for crimes against society. And the only way they can come out of prison is if they admit that they were wrong and they were at fault for these crimes. But they vary from things like, you know, being catcalled to being, like, basically sexually abused or... refusing to wear high heels at work, that sort of thing.
So they're not actually crimes.
Yeah.
So society has deemed the abuse on them as being crimes, that it's their fault. So everything that's happened to you is your fault. You were catcalled, you shouldn't have been wearing that dress. And then the women spoke out about it, and that's how they ended up in these sort of prisons. And society, the system has said to them, the only way you can leave is if you say you're wrong. And
yeah.
The play explores the journey of these women. You get to know these five women, and a sixth member enters as well and shakes things up a bit. And you get to know each of these women and get to learn their stories and why they're there. And you find out by the end what they've all decided to do.
And some people would say we're already in that dystopian society now.
Well, yeah, there's lots of things going on in the world at the moment. You know, you've got things like what's happened in America with Trump coming into election. You've got, you know, people being put in prison all around the world for basically their sexuality. So, yeah, it seems like, you know, in some respects you could say, oh, yeah, this is a really far-fetched situation. But even if you look closer to home, like I think it was last year when we were actually devising the play, there was a campaign being started by a woman called Nicola Thorpe because she'd basically been asked to wear high heels at work, and she was saying that was discrimination because it was hurting her feet and she didn't want to wear these high 3-inch or 4-inch heels. And she took her petition or her campaign to Parliament, and actually her campaign has ended now. Like, basically Parliament have decided, no, it is lawful for the House of Lords has said it is lawful for a company to make a woman wear high heels to work, which is ridiculous, really, for me, from my point of view, where that sort of, yes, men do have, like, codes of dress in terms of, like, employment, but I think there's one thing to say to someone that you need to be smart to work, but another thing to say that has to have an impact on your health. So we are there. We are in that time now.
And it's the examples, you know, the real examples, particularly where some people would say we confuse human rights, you know, and civil society with corporate greed, because you've also got examples of people I've been speaking to here that are in between acting jobs, have office jobs, where going home at 5 o'clock is a sign you're not working properly and everyone leaves at 7.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Is it something about, you know, the push when corporation is unlimited then it and comes into society, it
yeah.
all goes mad?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is kind of very similar to, you know, what that whole Nicola Thorpe case, which is, yeah, it is corporations, it is work encroaching on your freedom as a person, your choice as a person. I think that's basically, it's very similar to what you've just said.
And I guess as you looked out into society through, you know, experiences close to you, but also as you did your research, and that comes into a devising process. Can you give us a flavour of how all that material and your own thoughts on it appeared in a room with theatre makers?
So after doing the initial reading the Red Women's Theatre Award with Cassia and her play Under My Thumb. It was 15 minutes, and I approached her, and I sent the play to Cassie. We read it and actually said, you know what, we'd love to develop this with you. So she had it as a short film originally, so she had some ideas, but we said we were really up for bringing all the six women, us two included, into a room with you and developing it as you go. You're still the writer, but we'd love to have your ideas and ours and just flow and play. She loved that idea and was very up for it, and we worked in the rehearsal room with her and James. And
James Hadrill, that is, yeah.
James Hadrill, yes, who runs Greenwich Theatre, who's the co-producer on our play. And he would direct pieces, and he'd like, we're in a prison, there's nothing there, but he'd put like a box would just appear, and it just turned into a huge improvisation. And she would take inspiration from that improvisation, and some of that is in the play. We also sat down and spoke in character and as ourselves. And we shared experiences that affected us personally or people that we know. And the writer, a lot of what she has experienced and people she knows have experienced is in there. So it's very close to our hearts, because a lot of that is very true and honest and raw. And it's gritty because it's real to us. And it's emotional for us to share that every day, because it affects everyone and so many more women. We're just seven women in a room.
Yeah. So seven women in the room, you know, is also important and vital. But you do your research, you watch footage, you know, talk to people. Did anything verbatim make its way into the script?
The Nicola Thorpe case was one of them.
Yeah, I guess we also did this initially when we first started devising. We basically shared as a group our own experiences of everyday sexism, which at first we were like, I can't think of any real experiences, really. We could think of some of the extreme situations that we've had, but when we started speaking, actually, there were so many examples of everyday sexism that we experienced. And yeah, there is some verbatim in terms of when we were doing characterization, where there was a line, "I was six," which is basically has come from our devising process, where it is an experience of one of the actors, and it's quite a hard-hitting monologue about being basically sexually abused. But that is, some verbatim that has come from our devising that has appeared in the script.
So did the script, it was literally in the room and got written as you were devising it?
She was incredible. She would be inspired in the day, be writing notes, and then she'd go home overnight and come in the next day with like four pages of scripts. Then we'd work on that text, and then we'd do more devising, and the next day she'd come in with that edited, and then a new bit, and so on and so on, and then until eventually she went away for 3 months and basically created the play. And then we worked it through again. We had a read of it, and so did James as well. So ourselves and James got to have a read of it, and we just offered our opinion as well on that, and she did edit it slightly as well. And since doing it in September, when we did the R&D production of it, we had a Q&A with the audience every single night for a week of performance, which was fantastic. And then after that, we then incorporated their thoughts and feedback into it, and further changes were made before we came to Edinburgh.
And so in terms of actors who could have been just given a script, learned it and acted it, which can be powerful too, how did it feel and how does it feel to feel that sense of involvement and ownership that comes out of collaboration and devising?
I think it just feels extremely personal, and there's a different sort of weight attached to it, because you understand that it's not just, you know, some kind of fictional person's experiences, but your own experiences as a woman, the experiences of your friends that are in this, and it's just a much more personal thing to do, and I'm so immensely proud of it because of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But how do you ensure that as performers you're not too close to it, too proud of it? Sometimes you think you also, to get this across, need to step away a little bit and have an objectivity that doesn't always come from being so immersed.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And we decided that we wouldn't share any of our own stories. So if we shared a story, that your character wouldn't be sharing that story, because it is a bit too close to home sometimes. But we had a lot of safeness and trust in the room, so that if someone else could be sharing your story. But I think it's worth saying that no story is the truth to us from beginning to end. We've adapted it and changed it using other people's experiences that we've heard, or research that we've done, and videos that we watched, and what we read in the news. But I think, what Cassie said, I'll second that. We feel honoured to share these stories, because I'm standing on stage with five other incredible women, but we're sharing stories of women that are all around the world. It's not just us. It's not just our family and friends. It's issues that affect women every day, everywhere.
And in terms of then the later rehearsal process, once the script is pretty much there, you know, how do you make sure you hit somewhere like Edinburgh running, particularly the ground running, you know, particularly if you've been changing it, you've been doing Q&A, when does the script have to kind of settle?
So I think...
Or does it have to settle?
Well, I think it does. I think after the R&D, we took all that feedback and then it was edited. And the end changed, actually, because that was quite a lot of the feedback was around the end of the play. And then we were lucky enough to be part of the incoming festival at the New Diorama. And we also went to Brighton Fringe for a couple of days and played at the Warren. Yeah. So that was a really nice warm-up for us to come to Edinburgh, because it gave us the opportunity to play in different spaces, because we've staged the play in quite a few different ways. Like here at Assembly Roxy in the Snug Bar, we're almost in the round, and the play serves itself really well to be surrounded, because the audience work as this sort of wall around us. So I think it does settle, and I think it has now, and I think because we got that run up, that's what's helped it be able to do that.
But also, I feel like what you've said is true, that we've done it in so many different ways, and we've staged it in so many different ways, that in a weird way, like it's a completely new experience doing it here at Edinburgh Fringe. I think it is because the stage is in the round, and also we know that we're in the most prestigious festival or theatre festival in the world, so yeah, it does feel slightly different for me as an actor to be doing it in the round at Edinburgh Fringe, and it's like there's a new sort of intensity that's come with it.
And in terms of a dystopian present that maybe isn't that far away from our real present, the Fringe is, I mean, it's true everywhere, but say up here, potentially there are judges, policemen and women, people working in education that are going to come and see this. So this is meant to be a bit of disruptive theatre beyond entertainment, isn't it? So there's, what kind of impact are you getting upon audiences, particularly if you're doing Q&A? What are you hoping, I guess, that this is going to change and prevent this dystopia coming about?
Absolutely. As Culture Clash, we've always wanted to share theatre that was social and political and sharing issues, particularly that affect women and that fight for gender equality. And we chose this play and helped develop it because we felt that that's exactly what it did. And we are, you know, if we could do a Q&A in Edinburgh, we would love to, because unfortunately we don't have that luxury. But doing that was such a luxury to actually get and talk to these people after. People are quite moved. Some people are quite emotional and they're affected personally. They can't really talk.
I guess deliberately asking a naive question. So without the Q&A, with just a piece of theatre that you guys have worked so hard on, can it do that? You know, in this world of everyone watching Netflix and TV and kind of going out for drinks, when they come into a place like this, can it be that powerful that it actually disrupts and makes the world a different place?
I think so, yes. I think the setting helps, because as soon as they walk in, it's like we're in the Snug Bar. We're one of only three pieces there, and it's sort of, you walk in and it's dark and grey and eerie, and the seats are surrounding us, and there's not a lot of light, and we're there in our drab clothes covered in dirt eating porridge out of bowls.
So you're immersing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're completely immersed, and they're you know, there are fight scenes, there's a lot of aggression at times, it's very emotional, and a lot of that is, you know, they're not far from, a few feet away from you.
Yeah.
Do I want to add to that?
No, I think that's right. I think it's the atmosphere, the audience are there with us. We're sometimes, you know, we have to help like stop ourselves from sitting on the audience sometimes, because they're so close to us. I think that's why theatre can change. I think, but yeah, that's why theatre can affect people. And I think this piece in particular is very shocking. And I think when the audience are that close to us, I think it is shocking, and I think that's exactly what we want. We want you to be uncomfortable. We want you to think, I need to move my feet out of the way, otherwise you're going to sit on my feet. And we want you to be listening to every single thing that comes out of our mouths. And I think we do that with this piece.
Yeah, because it's about raising awareness, about sharing these women's stories is raising the awareness that this is happening all around the world every day. And if we can become more aware of a society that these problems exist, maybe we can make change.
Proper important Fringe theatre. It's called Under My Thumb. Thanks very much for talking to Fringe of You.
Thank you.